Blog Talk Radio.
All right. What's up, everybody? What's happening, Phoenix?
Hey.
How you doing, bro?
I'm good. Yourself?
Man, I'm running around like a chicken. The head just got cut off, man. Oh, Lord, I'm running all over the studio. And I hope everybody is good. Thanks so much for tuning in to Solar Records Radio, as it is Throwback Thursday here. And we celebrate old school, new school, all the schools, all the time here on Solar Records Radio.
Old schools.
Yes, but today is, you know, it's really about old school. We're going to have a really good time with this old school thing. But we want to top it up a little bit before we get into the music part of the show today. So once again, we want to thank you guys for tuning in and being a blessing. Phoenix, how you been, man?
I'm great, man. You know, yesterday was a monumental day of just bliss and appreciation for being topsoil and just, you know, just sometimes smelling the roses and recognizing your place in God's arrangement like a beautiful bouquet of flowers. You may not be the centerpiece. Maybe you're the angel hair, but guess what? you're a part of the bouquet. And so I found myself in such deep appreciation yesterday that it was overwhelming. I just felt amazed at
wow.
the progression of things, even COVID, the different things that I've experienced in life, you know, love and loss, that I'm here, I'm still standing, and I'm cooperative with the mission that I've been given. And I just felt great, man, and today's an extension of that. So
that's
I know that's
beautiful.
A mouthful, but you asked me, you know, you got to be careful what you ask me, brother, because that's
oh,
just my
yeah.
failure.
No, and that's exactly why I asked you, because I want you to tell me. So it's all
yeah.
good. Hey, I want to just say, listen, guys, for you know, to Astrid and Greg, thank you guys so much for being executive associate producers here on Soul Eye Records Radio. But I want to make sure that, you know, people are aware, you know, I need you to pray for my brothers and sisters over there overseas in Amsterdam and in the UK, because COVID is getting a little crazy. And both of them have been up and down this week. So let's keep them in prayer. As you know, we all have our own situations that we need to be prayed for too. But just as a special prayer for those guys, because they do so much here, Soul Eye Records Radio, to really be a blessing to you guys and to us. So we got you guys, and we thank you for everything that you guys do. And so. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. And so, guys, we want to, East Phoenix, I want to get into this topic because I'm confused.
you shouldn't be. You know, I was doing a little research on that. You know, sometimes we say things loosely and lightly. Like, hey, it's a free country. You know, freedom of speech. You know, we say these things, but sometimes we don't understand the magnitude behind what we're really saying. And so today's topic really talks about freedom of speech in a functional society, right?
It's right, right,
our
right.
right. But how
okay.
free should we be? And so what it points to is that there should be certain limitations, because then you get into legal inferences where you become liable. You just can't say whatever you want to say without repercussions.
Right,
like,
right,
for
right.
instance, you know, on a lighter level, if somebody says, you know, man, that daggone Bordell, he can't play no drums. Do you know that's libel? You're liable now. Now I've just slandered your name.
Wow.
And you could take me to court and say, hey, you know what? Phoenix went on the air and say that I couldn't play drums. This has affected my livelihood. You could come after me. Now,
yeah.
I thought I had freedom of speech. I said, man, he can't play. He ain't never played on no hit records. Now you've committed a couple of felonies.
Uh-oh.
But that might come under the auspices of thinking, I have free speech. This is America. There's limitations. So let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. So, yeah, I had no idea that people can be held liable for that. But,
slander,
you know,
man. Let me tell you something, bro. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm passionate about this, but let me tell you something. The greatest man that ever lived, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, again, for those who are spiritually inclined, because not everybody feels the same way about everything, but Jesus was definitely, in my humble opinion, the greatest man that ever lived. They slandered his name. They pulled him up for sedition. They hung him on a tree. And they said a lot of things that was wrong. That was slander. The man didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest case of slander. Like for instance, you may know a woman, and she's a single parent, and she takes care of her two little children. And you go on a public forum and say, I know for a fact that this woman does not take care of her children. She is the worst mother in the world. Now you're liable. You just slandered against her name. And if you can't prove it, and if you're not correct, there are repercussions for what you say. So slander is one of the oldest litigious forms of discipline that one could enter. So be careful what you say, especially in public media.
Well, that's exactly what I was about to say. Okay, so how does that relate to January the 6th? at the White House.
In what regard? Because that's monumental, right there.
So many people said that they had the right to do what they were doing. You have the right to protest, right? You have the right to get together as a group and to protest, something. But they seem to have extended the line. And I don't want to do a political. This is not a political conversation.
No, but
I'm just trying to get.
Roughly,
yeah,
people,
I'm using it as an example.
Lost their lives.
Right.
People lost
right.
their lives.
So when you
public
yeah, now you cross the line.
Took place.
Right.
Yeah. Public destruction took place. Some was even shown via camera defecating in a municipal government building. That's heavy, bro. I mean, pushing and shoving. People were threatened. I know Pelosi, I mean, they went into her office. The main guy had his foot up on her desk. And, you know, so, I mean, yes, that's a clear example of pushing the envelope. Now, the basis of their issue may have been sound. Hey, I don't agree. No problem. But when you cross the lines and public destruction takes place. And
right.
I know there was one gentleman who was a law enforcement officer. He had a family. He lost his life.
Yeah.
People were threatened. You know, somebody comes and threatens you and says, you know, Wardell, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to hurt you. I don't like what you said. I don't like your drum playing. I'm picking on your drums today. It's funny. But that's an issue now. Now you've crossed the line. And I think in a world today, you know, we live in a world of litigious overflow. Everybody's suing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, nowadays everybody's a publicist. Something happens, everybody pulls out their phone. Everybody is publicly editorializing in terms of what they're saying. We have to scale back and appreciate that there's repercussions and responsibilities for free speech. And so, yeah, this is a great topic. Just to topically, I mean, we don't have to get into political inferences and religious, implications and such, but to just outline and say, hey, be careful.
Right, right.
If you stick your neck out, like you don't want to drive your car and stick your neck out as you're driving, right? And you're going under the bridge or you're coming to the toll booth. You want to be careful.
Right, right.
As funny as that might sound, I think sometimes the lines have been marred in a society that's extremely litigious. I mean, we're in a world today, the little kids in kindergarten tell me, I'll sue you. You went in my lunchbox and stole my peanut butter jelly sandwich. I'm going to sue you. My mama's coming up, so I'm going to sue you and take your house away. Funny as that sounds.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because the line has been pushed so far back. It's like, what is and so, you know, before the line was here, and then it just went a little further, and now it's gotten so far back that, you know, people are dying because of free speech. Like, hello, that's not free speech. You're killing people. And people are standing up, and lawyers are standing up trying to justify this. It is like they are even making the line go even further because,
I mean, even leaders of the free world, if you look at that, you know, you brought into perspective what happened on the 5th. The leader of the free world that was marching them on from his pulpit.
He was
saying that I'm with you. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to march with you. And when you do that, it's open for interpretation. Maybe he was just editorializing. Maybe he was just embroiled with his passion at that particular time. But others interpreted what he said, whether he meant that or not. And I'm not here to judge him in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
But many took that as rah, 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 go ahead. We're going to do it. And these were not stupid people. These were people, if such a thing exists anymore, upper middle class. They had great jobs. They were teachers. They were professors. You know, these were professional people. These were not the low echelon. These were people responsible. Normally, these folks were law-abiding citizens. But we saw them tearing public property, knocking the frame out of the window, kicking it in. Like I say, defecating in a public municipal building. That to me just took it to the point, was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You feel that impassioned about what you feel to the point that you're doing these things? To me, it amplified, like you saying, pushing the envelope in terms of the human experience for something that you feel that strongly about. You're willing to go to that extent. Wow. Yeah, it's something to discuss and to flesh out. Absolutely.
Right. There's so many things that come to mind, but also, you know, I mean, I think that when you talk about these things happening in the school, when I see, parents being very upset about their children wearing masks, even if it's mandated to wear masks, and then there's places where they want to wear masks where it's not mandated, and it's a problem no matter what you do. At some point, somebody has to be the adult in the room. And the parents are now acting like the children, and the children are just standing there watching. So this is becoming.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that you mentioned to me earlier. I said, that's a whole discussion in itself. I think I said yesterday in the broadcast that years ago, when your teacher called home, first of all, let's put a perspective on it. They're calling home on a rotary phone. So your parent is sitting by the kitchen table, and they pick up the phone that's corded that goes to a wall phone. And the teacher's on the other end, blah, 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 blah. Your son did this, that, so forth, and so on. My dad was a professor. So when a teacher called, they were absolutely 100% right, and I was 100% wrong. I couldn't even get a word in edgewise. The strap was coming out. You did what? And there it was. Punctuation on my backside. But the roles have changed today. Nowadays, like you said, the parents are acting like children. And so when a child can see their parent march up to the school and lambaste a teacher, which is a public servant, you know, you have to think about this. You know, these poor teachers, my heart goes out to them because they're dealing with a multiplicity of personalities and styles, and nowadays, everything that you say is scrutinized, and that poor teacher has to deal with it. And now the parent is coming up and lambasting the teacher in front of the student. So what pause does that give the child to see their mother or their father come up to the school, curse the teacher out? And in the child's heart, which is hilarious, the child says to themselves, you know what? I was really wrong. I knew I shouldn't have done that to teach a sweetheart. But I did. And I told my mama, and she lost her mind. And now that ship has sailed. Mama is at the school cursing the teacher out. Oh, my God. What message does that send to the child, I ask you?
Yeah. It's really a very uncomfortable message. I think that it's the wrong message. Because if you expect for the child to go to school and get educated, they need to respect the person that's teaching them. But if the parent is not respecting the person that's teaching them, why should the child? And so so the child usually follows the footsteps of the parent. And so I remember when I was younger, my parents, if they had something to say that may have been a little out of line or something that they thought I shouldn't hear as a child, they would have me go in another room and they would talk to the principal or the teacher themselves, right? Not in front of them. And nowadays, it's just like it's almost like they're showing off to their child. And it's really disgusting. It's really sad. And I feel really bad for everybody, the child, the teacher, mainly the teacher and the child. But the parent, I think, is just lost their way because they're seeing other people doing and displaying this type of activity, and they're thinking that, hey, if they could do it, I can do it too. But at some point, we have to be adults. We have to be responsible. We are responsible for our own actions. And just like some people are being locked up now because of their actions, you know, the ones that are going through that are having second thoughts, like, wow, how did I get myself into this? Why did I let this happen?
And you know, if I can say this much, as a self-imposed certified Mr. Mom, I was a father, of course, a musician, so I had a recording studio at my house. And anytime that there was a parent-teacher conference, I would attend the conference. And the teachers were elated because they just couldn't believe it. 99% of those that would attend would be the strong army of women that supported their children. And so when they saw a male figure come to support the child, the teachers were enamored, and they were very appreciative. Many times I received accolades for showing up. Mm-hmm. And I remember one teacher said, she says, wow, you know, here it is, I'm an artist. You know, so we had our moments of the leather pants, and I was wearing earrings before that, or George Michael's, I mean, chandeliers. But when I went to school, I made sure I pinned that up, took my earrings out, put on a suit if I could, or a dress pair of slacks, an Izod shirt, or whatever I needed to do to show respect or homage, as you mentioned, to the educators. And they appreciated it. And some of the teachers would say, wow, you know, fathers don't look like fathers anymore, so it's nice to see a father that comes and represents himself in the manner.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we used to see back then, you know, Chris Cross and all those guys were out at the time. They were wearing their pants and clothes backwards, the long clothes, their underwear showing. That's been going on a long time. Untied Timberlands. This is New York, East Coast. Hair wild. Baseball caps flipped backwards. And, you know, being that my dad was an educator, when I went to the school, I put all that creativeness aside, and I made sure that I came there dressed as a responsible adult. And, you know, the teachers made mention of that because it sends, you know, if you want to send your child to school, which we used to send them with khaki pants, my son sent him to school with khaki pants, boat shoes, a nice Oxford shirt buttoned up, even the collar is buttoned down. And the teachers, sometimes my son was just a brat, but he got over because he was dressed like a little Harvard or Yale student. And the teachers would make it known, wow, you know, your son, we love how he comes to school. He sets a good example, made sure his haircut was a certain way. So what are we talking about? Standards. No mm-hmm. matter who you are, no matter where you think you are, like when you go in front of the judge, I don't care who you thought you was. You better, even in jail, they tell you to, listen, tuck your pants in, straighten up your act, you know, moisten your fingertips and try to brush down your mustache or whatever. You're going in front of the judge. And stand straight. Don't stand on one leg or another. So it's a standard. We still live in a time period that people respect standards. And so when we bring into freedom of the speech into that equation, there's standards for that as well. And we may not recognize them or adhere to them, but you can be accountable or liable if you say something that's out of bounds.
Wow. Has free speech became a multitude of the right to speak out without what am I reading here?
I get the gist of it, but yeah, there are boundaries, man. I mean, we get so embroiled.
Oh, without impunity. So, are people speaking out? You know, and speaking out without impunity is the question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because sometimes, you know, we fly by the seat of our pants. How many times did we receive something, an electronic device, and we look at the manual, we throw the manual to the side, we say, I can figure this thing out. Next minute, you know, you're calling up the manufacturer because you did something. And then you read in the manual, they say, before you do this, make sure you remove this piece of tape or make sure you do that. And you go, oh, my God. Because if you don't, the manual says, you could cause irreparable damage to this particular unit. Okay.
Right.
So what are we saying? Sometimes you got to read the manual. Sometimes you can't fly by the seat of your pants. Sometimes you have to take a pause, put your emotions in perspective. And I hope that this discussion today helps those that feel like they just have a right, like this, like the comment said, without impunity. You don't. You, in other words, we still live in a land where there's laws.
Right.
But without it, it would be complete chaos.
So let me just read that again. Has free speech become a mutation of the right to speak out without what happened? Now my
impunity.
Screen just impunity, but my screen. Okay, all right. So slow down on your texting because every time you guys text me, it jumps up and it goes off my screen. Yeah, so
okay.
And so mutation. Yeah, so without immunity. So what are we saying here? What is their question? How can you ask that question in it or rephrase that question?
Well, in other words, you know, do we feel today that we just have the right to express our views without impunity? In other words, without restriction, without responsibility for what we're saying. I think that that's the obvious observation. I think, you know, you mentioning what happened on the 5th, that was a prime example. That was a prime example of people who got their feelings in an uproar. There were a lot of political things going on, different political agendas, and I agree with you. I'm not here to debate any political issues. I love to remain neutral on those things. Somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. That's just the unfortunate part of the political process, and sometimes people get hurt in the process. And as a spiritual man, I don't think God is political because of that very issue. Okay, he doesn't look at things that way. But because of that situation, people lost their lives, for God's sake. You know, public property was destroyed. And it just didn't affect America. This was on a world stage. And there were so many countries that weighed in. And I can tell you from the little that I was able to digest, it wasn't good for America. That was a pretty sad day for Americans that held the highest level of, you know, when you said you was an American, man, you felt like, man, I said something and people felt good about it. But that day was a shameful day for Americans because it was on a world stage and people got to see us at our rudest, crudest moment. And so, yes, back to what you said there, Wardell. We just can't fly by the seat of our pants because we get emotionally charged and we feel that we have a right to say something. Sometimes we got to ratchet it back. You know, some of the older folks used to say, count to 10. Hold your breath. Think about it.
Yes.
And then try to say things that, like you said, somebody's got to be the adult in the room. We don't want to get to the point where we're in front of the Supreme Court judge and we have attorneys trying to interpret what crazy thing we've just done. Because then we're already out of pocket.
Okay.
Right? And that's not – I don't think that's who we are as a people.
Well, you know, and this, I just want to make sure that we emphasize this is not just happening in America. This is happening all around the world. I've watched protests all around the world, and it has gotten so violent. People are dying. It is, I mean, there's like, you know, like I said, the line has been pushed back so far that it don't even exist anymore. Now people feel like they can do or say anything they want to get their point across. And that is disgusting because people are losing their lives behind it. And it shouldn't be that because everybody's entitled to what they feel. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But no one's entitled to taking someone else's life. And we have to figure out a way to protect each other.
You know what? You know what popped in my mind. You may think this is a little off topic, but I'll show you how it cues back into what we're talking about. I remember when President Kennedy. Now we're talking Camelot. We're talking about one of the most beloved presidents of all time. It was called Camelot. I mean, President Kennedy and Jacqueline Kennedy. They were just like in England. You know, you had the king and
queen, right.
It was like a monarch.
Yeah.
And in New York, we had one of the most revered news reporters, Walter Cronkite, for those of you old enough to remember him. And he used to come on very responsibly. This is Walter Cronkite. Hear now the news. And I remember that because that's 1963. I was born 1958. And Walter Cronkite came on to show you the difference, how times have changed. It wasn't editorialized. You could see that Walter Cronkite, a man of just immense distinction, perhaps one of the most revered news reporters of all time, had to report to the world that the President of the United States has been shot. The restraint on his face, and later on they interviewed him, and he said he was shaking inside. He was almost at tears. But he realized his role as a responsible reporter to pull it together. He looked over the rim of his black glasses, and he gave us simply the news, not his opinion, not his emotion, not what he thought about what took place. He said, this is Walter Cronkite. Hear now the news, not what I think, the news. Now, if you put that on the landscape of today, if you look at today's news, CBS, NBC, CNN, I don't care what news station that, it's a bunch of editorializing. So what are we saying? They're not giving us the news. They're giving us their opinion of the news. They're snickering. Yeah. Everybody looks like a Barbie doll, a Ken doll. It's a joke. They're laughing. They're drinking their coffee. It's like The View or something. And it's terrible. For me, as an older person, remembering what real news used to be, here's Walter Cronkite expressing the slain President of the United States of America and the restraint. Everybody was just holding their breath. We couldn't breathe. We were standing by the television. But he did it in such a responsible fashion, as opposed to what's happening today. Now, how does that affect us? When people see news reporters editorializing, snickering, laughing, passing comments, I don't care who it is, whatever the latest news is, they're joking, they're laughing. It's like a party. Nowadays, everybody's got a phone and everybody's editorializing. There's no longer a standard of presenting the news without personal inference. And I've seen that change in my lifetime. And sometimes, you know, people say, well, let's watch the news. I say, I don't want to watch that stuff because I have to sift through the editorializing. I have to sift through the jousting and the joking to get to the – could you just give me the news straight without your personal inferences? This has echoed and had a rippling effect, in my humble opinion, on the news. The news is no longer the news. It's a joke.
Yeah, well, you know, Greg just posted that on his page. I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday about – and this is in England – about how he was watching – the news, but the newscaster was doing something, and they were so intense on whatever they were talking about that it was just stressing him out. He couldn't even watch it anymore. And I hope I'm saying it right, Greg, but I know it was something. I mean, I know it was something like that. And that was just you know, that's what happens. I mean, we can't even watch the news because the news broadcasters have decided to put their own emotion in the words, as opposed to, hello, just read it.
Just give me the news.
Yeah, we don't need you to add
like,
your
I don't need you. I remember when I was in college, you know, the teachers, I took several, you know, I was a communication major, and they were quick to ascertain if you were editorializing or you were giving the information. They said, look, I don't want your opinion. I don't need your snickering. I don't need your little sidebar comments. Give me the information. Allow me the opportunity to decipher whether this fits or doesn't fit my needs.
Yes.
Unfortunately, because of today's technologies, because of the widespread use of the internet, people have gotten very lax. Everybody's a news reporter. You know, as soon as you pick up your phone, you're at a social scene and you're documenting what's going on. And in the background, you're talking. You are interpreting the news. Okay. And you're not giving people the opportunity, especially if you're right wing or left wing, or I agree, or, you know, I love Donald Trump, and anybody who doesn't, or I hate Donald Trump. You know, it was a lot of that went on. And it polarized, in my opinion, America, because people didn't know which way. I even went on social sites at the time I was dating, and certain ones will say, if you support this particular person, swipe left. And I was like, wow, that's deep. You know?
Yes. It's you know, and this is the thing. I don't care. I do not care what side. I'm apolitical. So I don't care whether you're the Republican a newscaster or a Democratic newscaster. Just give us the facts. I think I just got something. Leave out the drama and give us the facts. And I don't, you know, and I've seen, like, I'm watching the news to see what's going on, and this lady is making these faces as she's giving. I'm like, can you stop that? You're not an actor or actress. This is not your gig. Your gig is to report the news. And so at some point, I just pray that we get somebody to help us and to help them to be a blessing to us. It says here, when is a joke not a joke? And who censors it as offensive?
You know, that's a nice point, because, you know, sometimes when you editorialize, particularly against a race, a religion, a creed, you're hurting somebody. You know, somebody that really feels strong. You know, at one point it was so bad against Asian Americans that President Biden had to put certain things into law. I mean, in 2021, I believe. I mean, I never thought I would see the day when the President of the United States had to set certain precedents in terms of attacking or joking or jesting towards a culture or a race of a people, because it was affecting lives. People were taking it into their own hands to hurt certain cultures because they felt that this was a widespread feeling. You know, this shows you the level of decay and, you know, come to a day where we see a level of peace amongst men. I mean, these things are prophesied, so I do believe in them, and I do believe the time is going to come shortly where things are going to be equalized. But until such time, I think each one teach one. I think conversations like today are not only thought provoking, but they're responsible dialogues to have, at least to start the conversation. I don't think you and I are going to fix anything, but if nothing else comes across to our listeners, but what do you think? You think that maybe we need to ratchet back on editorializing and just saying like whatever we want? Are there accountabilities and responsibilities? Absolutely. Can you become liable for saying certain things? Absolutely. And if you don't think so, look at the law statutes, and you will come and you might be shocked to know that when you go in front of a judge, and I've been in the Supreme Court, and certain things that come across, even a fight, you know, let's say two people get into an altercation. You know what the lawyers are really looking at? They're not looking at your issue or what was said, and he said something about your mama. Who threw the first punch? Who was the aggressor? Who stepped back? Who put his hand up and said, you know, oh, we're looking at the screen. This guy stepped back. He retreated. He put his hand up. But you were the aggressor. You're accountable now because you threw the first punch. Okay, these are some of the things that play out in court. And, you know, people get their feelings all up in an uproar. Oh, but he was right, and he did this, and he did that. I recently took a course in an academy, a law enforcement academy, and I began to really understand, you know, police are in the hot seat these days. But now I learned why certain things are said. They are legal inferences. You know, when a police officer said, I felt threatened. Do you know that's textbook? Do you know that they're taught to say these things? These are legal inferences. And it scared me half to death because once you get past what is right and what is wrong, like they say, you know, in the court of law, it's not about who's right or wrong. It's who can prove it. Can you prove it? Oh, he did this and that. Where, show me. Well, we got you on video. You approached this individual, and you were the one who threw the first punch. I don't care what you thought. You're liable. Now, I hope you got a great attorney.
There you go. Yes, yes.
We have to think about it.
Yes. All right, so listen, I'm going to take a small break, and we'll be right back with Phoenix and Wardell on Soul Artist Radio.
Don't need no light to see through you.
All right. Jeffrey Osborne, that's my boy right there. Woo! And I really enjoyed him. Always coming over into my office at A&M and just, what's going on, man? Like, what the? It's this deep voice. And, you know, I'm shorter than everybody on earth. So it's just like I'm always looking up. What? And but Jeffrey, good brother. And we got about another 14 minutes left in the show. And so, Phoenix, it is a very uncomfortable topic, and people don't let this one go by so easily. Normally, people get very frustrated, and they have something they want to say. And I just want to say thanks to the callers that I know you guys have called in, and some of you guys have hung up and stuff, and I appreciate you calling in. We just, we have a program we got to stick to and stuff, so... But we appreciate you hanging out and listening, and much love to you, and God bless you. Appreciate that. So, anyways, Phoenix, I think I have something else to read to you, if I could just bring it up here from the listeners, which we are so grateful for. The saying, clear and present danger, adopted by the U.S. Supreme Court, shows us that authorities will intervene if it is thought that free speech may be harmful.
Yes.
So, in other words, you can't go over the line. It is not. They will intervene. They will
stop
you.
Man. You just can't come out like they say, all willy-nilly. I always love that expression, all willy-nilly. You can't. And yes, passions infuse us. We feel very definite about our feelings, and I dig it. I understand it. It's been since the beginning of time, men felt a certain way. You know, the Christians felt a certain way, and the Samaritans felt a certain way, and they didn't get along. That's where we get the Good Samaritan from, the whole teaching lesson behind that. One felt that you should do it this way. One felt you should do it that way. They didn't get along. They didn't worship the same place. They kind of really hated each other, surprisingly, and they thought they were spiritual people, which is kind of counterproductive. But when you get passionately embroiled about a feeling that you have, I like what the listener brought to our attention, is that if they feel it's harmful, you know, the FCC, it used to be years ago, and this goes way back. I mean, this is kind of off topic, but I remember when Elvis Presley was on the Ed Sullivan Show, and he shook his hips. Television went black. FCC shut it down. They said, this is harmful. We can't have this man shaking his hips that way. It has sexual connotations. This is Elvis Presley,
right, dude. Right.
Do you understand?
I remember.
And that was hilarious. Elvis Presley shook his hips, and all hell broke loose. Okay? So where are we at today? I mean, come on, you got kids up there now. What's it, Hannah Montana girl? She was twerking. Oh my God! I remember when I saw that. I was like, oh my God, that would make Elvis blush. I mean, there.
Yeah.
In other words, the gauge and the limitations of where we've gone from point A, and we ain't even at Z yet. We're only at N or O P somewhere. I mean, the stuff that is done, even within the songs, the structure. A lot of rappers get up in arms. I know Jay-Z was in the news recently, and he was fighting against the Supreme Court justices being able to censor or use rap lyrics that were recorded in court in order to dispose a case. So in other words, could be used against the rapper, his own lyrics in court. And he was fighting against that. But I think if I had the opportunity to talk to him, I would say, well, aren't rappers accountable and responsible? I mean, you can't get on a record that you cement into forever and call a woman a bee. Just that. That's in there forever. You Live or Die, Tupac is long gone. That's on his record. Okay? Somebody's going to pick that up. Somebody's going to be offended. Somebody's going to say, well, what gave him the right to call a woman a bee? This is derogatory. There's a counter. In other words, what I'm saying is we are accountable for what we say. This is simple.
I just got this from the listeners. John Lennon said about the Beatles, we were bigger than Jesus. Was that wrong? Oh, well. You know, so we have to just remember that this man has only a perspective of a human being, of one human being, and he could have said that as he was intoxicated, because that's what it sounds like.
Well, I got one better than that. James Brown used to say, "Hey, you're no better than my last record from God's ears." From God's mouth, he said on Rolling Stones magazine, from God's mouth to my ears.
Wow.
So, yes, you got to put this into context.
Yes, right.
These are artists. You know, they're taking in God knows whatever elixir. They're hyped up on their music. They're liable to say any smack. But do we take them seriously? You know, sometimes you have to strain out the net or take the rafter out of your eye. You have to... You know, I just think that we become too, sometimes, the other side of the coin is sometimes we become a little too sensitive to what everybody says. Years ago, during the 60s, remember, bro, people said a lot of things. We didn't get all up in arms.
But listen, I'm going to tell you, this thing is something else, because it's really about an opinion and people's. You know, this is how I feel. And you're saying this is how you feel. And so when we clash, I mean, I clash in my Bible study group. In my Bible study group, we are on
but
different...
But at some point, though, but here's the final line to that. That's true. But the final line to it is, I think one of the listeners had called in and said it. Does there come a point of diminishing returns where somebody has to sanction, like the FCC, and say, this could be harmful? You know, this could hurt somebody's feelings to the point that somebody gets hurt. Like I mentioned, the president in 2021 had to put out certain legal mandates to prevent people from attacking Asian Americans. Like when does that stop?
Yeah, that was...
You know, usually, to me, it was interesting because it's always black or white. Oh, black people. Oh, white people. Okay, cool. But now we're talking about Asian Americans. So let's stop talking about black and white for a minute. And let's look at our Asian brothers. You know, they were being threatened. Let's look at that as when the World Trade thing went down. They were my son, who's not Arab. My son, he kind of looks like a browner skinned Elvis Presley. He's a good looking kid. But people thought that he was like, they used to call him Aladdin. He used to come home crying. They call me Aladdin. I said, they're just saying you're cute. Don't even worry about it. But when the World Trade thing happened, people were threatening my son. They were thinking that he was Arabic. My son was Christian. So it can go too far. It can, you know, people can judge you on a look and think you're one thing, and you're not even.
Right.
You know, come on, man.
I just think that we have to not take our opinions so strongly. I mean, I could clash with you. I could clash with Greg, and I clash with the guys in my Bible study. But at the end of the day, my friendship is more important than anything that I'm, you know, my friendship is more important. We're going to figure this thing out. Whatever it is, we're still going to be friends at the end of the day. In other words, whatever our differences is, we have to hold the ground. We are friends first. And all this other crap is what it is. You know, if maybe we can't explain ourselves good enough that we can make the other one understand. I don't know what it is, but at the end of the day, before this happened, we were friends. And before this conversation happened, we were friends. And after this conversation, we're going to be friends. That's my goal is to make sure that I don't lose
my friendship or my relationships with people because of our differences. It's good to be different. It's a wonderful thing. There's a lot to learn from being different. You know, my wife's talking about, you must have Asian parents or grandparents or something, because all you like is Asian food. You love Asian food more than anything. It is what it is. But I have friends that are Asian, and they introduced me to this food, and I fell in love with it.
You should come here. My wife would feed you Asian food until it came out your ears.
Well, you know, that's why I am coming. I am coming.
Oh,
I will
man,
be on my
it.
Way to Vegas. Yes, man. Oh, man.
Oh,
well,
goodness.
Anyway, so in closing, guys, we have to get ready to go here. Hold on 1 second. I just kind of lost my way on my computer here. It locked me out.
It's 12:56. Well, for me, it's 12:56. So for you, it's 3:56, right?
Yeah. So anyway, in closing, what would you like to say in closing, sir?
Well, let's try not to step on people's toes. You know, let's be responsible adults. Let's be the adult in the room. Let's keep our opinions to ourselves if we feel it's inflammatory. And sometimes that requires just a little foresight. Sometimes that just requires thinking before you speak. Like they say, measure twice, cut once. Don't just be so quick to fly off the handle. You know, be poised. Let your words be seasoned with salt. Be careful. Let your main inference be to be a pursuer of peace, not necessarily a pursuer of your own pleasure. And sometimes when people have diarrhea of the mouth, they go off and saying a lot of things. They're just self-gratifying themselves. You're echoing an opinion that's your opinion, and it's okay, but not to the point where it's offensive to others.
There you go.
Let's be careful. You know, if we can do that, then we've come a far distance.
Yes. Well, you know, guys, I thank you. Thanks, Phoenix, so much, man, for coming on today and sharing this topic. Thanks. Greg is the one that came up with this topic. I'm blaming Greg. No, thanks, Greg. It was a good topic. And we are so grateful for you guys. And once again, like I said, please pray for our friends, both of our associate producers who are under the weather. So please pray for them and that they recover and get back on the good foot here at Solar Records Radio, as we appreciate them very much and grateful for their contribution to the station. Phoenix, much love, man. God bless you guys, and God bless you and your family for making that food that I want so badly. I'll be over real soon.
Absolutely.
And you take care, man. And I think I'm going to let Lakeside tell us how they feel about what we're talking about. So you guys take care.
Excellent. Cool.
And here we go. Throwback Thursday. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right.
I need you. Yes, I do. Yeah. to carry on. I need you, yes I do, baby.
Don't
come
for me, Lord.
Yeah, just to hold me,
hold me,
to guide me,
guide me
when I can't go on. I love you. Before, and I know it's true love, baby, 'cause I love
down. I need you, man. Oh man, what's up, Don Fleming? How you doing, my brother?
Hey, what's going on, Wardell? I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'm just outside getting some sun, but I am good.
That's nice. That's nice. We need to get some sun out here, man. It's been ugly. Hey, dude, I just wanted to say, you know, I had a great conversation with Phoenix in regards to what was it? Free speech and when is it too much? When, you know, when do we cross the line? And we were talking about, you know, January the 6th and, you know, how people are really crossing the line and how, you know, we seem to sometimes just not, the line has been moved back so far. Now it's really a dark time and it's really uncomfortable because, you know, I mean, where the line used to be was at a decent place, but now people are justifying killing people is okay to get your point across, you know, and I'm just like, you know, are you serious? What are you, how do you justify that? You know, and, And so some of these people that are doing the killing and all the stuff that they're doing will pay for what they've done. Some of them are already paying for it. And so we also talked about, you know, how newscasters sometimes they've taken out the news out of what they're sharing, and they throw their emotion in and sharing how they feel about what the news is, as opposed to just reading the news and sharing the facts so we can make our own decision. So just kind of giving you a couple things that's been going on the first hour, which was kind of like, wow, a little crazy, man. So I just wanted to know, do you have any thoughts about free speech and when is it too much?
I don't want to get into the whole, you know, yelling fire in a theater and all of that. I think, you know, I was always taught, and I'm just going to just go ahead and keep it simple. I was always taught, you know, just use common sense, boy. You know, understand, you know, what you say if what you say is of an influence, understand that there's a responsibility there. And, you know, whether it's based on your opinions or whatever factual evidence and, you know, empirical evidence you may have, just be mindful of the, you know, your power of influence, and just understand that there are people that are going to just take you to word for word to what you say 100% or 99.999%, I'll say that. But, you know, I think we get into that territory, and I know what you're asking, but I get the context of what you're saying, but I just wanted to say this. I think there are people who use a platform, you know, and because there are no consequences to it, because we hide under the cloak of free speech, I think it sends a bad precedent, because to me, you know, I always look at the greater good of things, and maybe that's just me, the way I grew up, because I, you know, understanding, you know, love for my fellow man, all of those things, yada, yada, yada. And understanding the influence that you have, if you do something that's kind of detrimental to you know, your upbringing, just for the sake of, let's say for the sake of money, you know, I think it's antithetical to that greater good. So free speech, you know, it's fine and dandy, but understanding that the voice, the conscience that you have, I mean, how do you sleep at night? How do you you're there to feed your family and this and this and this, but, you know, is it really worth it? Is there a certain level of integrity? To me, free speech and integrity are almost, you know, it kind of goes together to me, you know, whether the ability to use free speech to say what you want to say, but understand, you know, is there an integrity behind it? So, difference, just to answer your question, I just think it differs. Go ahead.
Are we just pretending that free speech is a good thing from the listeners? Don?
I'm here. I think, you know, again, it's a rocky road. It's a rocky road. So, you know, but go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
No, that was the question from the listeners to you. Are we just pretending?
I have to think about that in the next segment. So.
Okay, all right, that's cool. I'm glad that you think before you speak. That's a good thing. I respect that and appreciate that. But anyway, man, I'm gonna play some music, so, you know, we can come back and
please
chop it up. Yeah. So, but are you in the system?
Most definitely.
Are you in the system?
Not yet. I'm about to.
Okay. Cool. So
But you know, guys, I'm kind of in the love zone thing, so I know you guys are just done with me and my slow songs. But I'm sorry, Don's here. He'll lift it up. All right. So, I was just so crazy about it, and I had a wonderful conversation with the lead singer of this group, the Originals. That's old school, man. That is old school. This is old school, and we are throwing it back here on Throwback Thursday. So I have to do this. This is, and this man and his daughter, that, you know, I talked to his daughter, because he's about 83 years old, and so we were talking, going back and forth. This man still gets on the stage and sing as high as he did way back in the 60s. I mean, he's an original. he's the real deal. So I was like, man, I can't believe he could still do that. But, you know, it is in him. So here we go, guys, on Solar Records Radio. I'm going to start this block off. And I think, Don, you going to take over after this? Is Don there? Don? His microphone is on, but he's not there. He's playing games. Anyway, here we go on Solar Records Radio. I don't know Don's microphone. It must be muted. All right, here we go. Be right back.
got your love away from me.
Love is here. Took my hope. Look at me now.
Look at me. See what love is.
That's what I love about Throwback Thursday. It is so much fun. And so I want to keep this music going as I've been craving the music. And my associate producer has been craving the talking. Sorry, Greg. I know you want that us to keep talking. And you know what? It is a great topic. It is, you know, basically just, you know, can we just all get along? Can we have a little bit of, you know, respect for one another? Can we not cross the line? Can we be more careful about the things we do and say the way we do them and say them? Can we just care about our own, you know, humanity? Can we be respectful to one another? That's the bottom line. Why do you think that what you have to say or do is more important than anyone else? What gives you the right? Who made you God? You know, you're not better than anyone else. So just chill and love on one another and stop the craziness as we are destroying our world and the worlds around us, you know, our little communities around us. We're destroying them, you know, and it's just bad and it's sad and it's harmful and it's painful. I feel it. I feel the water building up in my eyes right now because it's just really so sad that we have to deal with this kind of thing. So, but the music makes me feel good, and I feel so blessed because of the music. So, come on, brothers and sisters, let's get along.
Let the horns do the thing they do, y'all.
Alrighty. I was grooving, man. I was in another space here, and it was awesome, and I'm so grateful that I get to do this. This is what an opportunity. And so that was Crystal. You know, we produced with them and wrote with them, just, you know, Silver Spoon Productions, and we had a great time with them. And we had our girl, Whitney Houston, I'm Every Woman. Wow. Man, oh, man, the beginning of that song is just like, it sounds like an amazing ballad is about to come on. And then they jump into an up-tempo song. I mean, she's just crooning in the beginning. I'm like, whoa, girl, sing it. Come on, bring it on. And then it goes into a up-tempo jam. So what a great, they got us good with that. That was a wonderful transition. Nice. Didn't what's the name do that song first, Chaka Khan?
Oh, yeah. 1978.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, man.
All right. And then the top of my block was Express Yourself.
Charles Wright and the 108th Street Band.
Yes, 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 yes. And, you know, I never got a chance to see him live, them live. I wish that I did. But anyway, great music. And I love going down the, you know, history lane there. It's just a wonderful place to go and hang out. And I love this music. So Don Fleming's in the house.
It's great. It's great to, like, you know, I was that nerd that read the note. I read the liner notes. I opened up if it was a cassette tape. I took that paper out and opened it up and read it. As small as those letters were, I can't even read those letters now. I couldn't even, don't even know because my eyes, you know, my eyesight ain't what it used to be. But no, I used to read the liner notes, and that's the beauty of understanding, you know, history and you know, who was on what and who played the bass drum, oh no, bass drum, who played on bass guitar and vocals and synthesizers, you know, all of those things, man, kind of were interesting to me. That's when I got the album. The first thing I got was pull out that paper and just open it up and just start reading.
Right.
And I guess that's how I try to incorporate that, you know, when I talk about the music that I play on the show, or when I, you know, when I had my radio show, I do the same thing. So, but yeah, man, I enjoy it.
Yes, sir, man. I wanted to tell Greg to leave me alone. He's talking about just don't sing. Whatever. Haters, man. Haters, Don. Just don't sing. He's the one getting yelled at. Stop singing. Be quiet. So, but anyway, I just wanted to remind the listeners, please keep Greg and Astrid in your prayers as they've been a little under the weather. But Greg is getting better. Obviously, he's poking at me. He's being mean. So he's getting better. And then, I think, look at Don. He's like ready to, he's serious and ready to. You sound so good, man. I remember your voice was all jacked up, and now you are back. 100%.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing a whole lot better, man. Man, I was, you know, I lost my voice, you know, I guess last month, and it kind of just stuck around for a few more weeks. I was like at 85, then maybe 90%. But I'm doing a whole lot better now, so I want to thank everybody for sending me those prayers and told me not to sing, just like they would tell Wardell not to sing. So, but no, I'm good. I'm good. Again, thank you guys for your continued prayers and everything. So
I'm excited. John, Greg said you unfriend me if I keep singing. Hey,
no, but go ahead.
Do your thing, man. I'm excited that you're here, man. So go ahead on and do your thing. Take over.
Oh, you gave me this block. Are you giving me this block? You know what? You know what? I'm going to give them a preview of tonight's show. I want to remind everybody tonight, it is Throwback Thursday night with yours truly, Don Fleming, and of course, Wardell Potts. Of course, we're going to be one and two. Wardell's one, I'm two. I'm going to be one, he's going to be two tonight. So tune in 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But again, we've got about another 18 minutes left. Let's go ahead and keep this music going. I want to take you back to 1983. And give you a classic from the late, great Curtis Hairston of the BB&Q Band. This was an under-the-radar song, but it was wonderful just all the same. This is called I Want You All Tonight. You guys keep it locked right here. It's Throwback Thursday on Solar Records Radio.
All tonight. make it right. I want you all, I want you all, I want you all tonight. Yeah, I want you all, I want you all, I want you all tonight. Make it right, make it right, make it right, make it right.
classic, man. That is music from Glenn Jones. Of course, that was from the Finesse album, 1984, Show Me. Of course, before that, the late, great Curtis Harrison, I Want You All Tonight, from 1983 classic. About 6 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. Going to wrap it up. Wardell's probably going to play the last song and go out on, with a bang. What's up, Wardell, man? Great show. Well, especially, you know, the ones that had me here. But anyway, I know. Is he away from the desk?
Yes.
Are you here, brother? Are we having any audio trouble?
Yes. I was on the other microphone. I was on the other
microphone. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
All right. How are you? That was good. Glenn Jones, Show Me. Whoa, man. You know, I think he sounds something like me. His voice and my voice. I think there's something special right there. In my own mind, right? Anyway, I want to thank all the people for, you know, we had a lot of people in the queue here listening to the show. So thank you guys so much. We appreciate you very much. Because you can, I mean, people, you know, sometimes they're driving and they want to hear that they call in from their cell phones and they listen to the show. And sometimes they want to talk too. But this time they were listening. And so I want to thank them for hanging out in the queue with us here on Solar Records Radio. Don, that was a great block. What was that, the second song you played?
Oh, started off the block with Curtis Harrison. Of course, Curtis Harrison was from the BB&Q band. Of course, you remember BB&Q band, Genie,
yeah.
Dreamer. Oh God, what a lot of great songs that they owned the beat. The Brooklyn, Bronx, and Queens band. But no, he had kind of did a solo thing in '83, and that was one of his. That was one of his underground hits, man. I love that song, I Want You All Tonight. It's about 7.5 minutes long, but it's a great song. And I loved his voice, man. And again, rest in peace to Curtis Harrison and the BB&Q band. So But tonight, make sure you guys tune in tonight, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central. 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Throwback Thursday Night with yours truly, Don Fleming. And, of course, Wardell's going to call and check in and hang out. We're going to have great conversation. Who knows? You never know who else may call in. I mean, I might troll Linda to hang out with us. But, I know she was under the weather a few days ago.
Yeah.
So just want to get her in good spirit.
What is going on? All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. And you all take care. I hope you enjoyed yourself tuning into the show. And we love you and appreciate you here on Solar Records Radio. Thanks, Greg and Astrid. Thank you, guys. Feel better. We love you guys. And we'll catch you next time on Solar Records Radio. All right, Don. See you later tonight. Later, buddy.
If you told me, hold me, fold me like a poolside chair.